الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله له لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، كل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم أما بعد، جاء في الحديث الصحيح الذي أخرجه الإمام أحمد في مسنده من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يبشر أصحابه فيقول: قد جاءكم شهر رمضان، شهر مبارك، افترض الله عليكم صيامه، يفتح فيه أبواب الجنة ويغلق فيه أبواب الجحيم، وتغل فيه الشياطين، فيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر، من حرم خيرها فقد حرمها، أو من حرم خيرها فقد حرم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. هذا الحديث العظيم فيه دلالة صريحة على أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يبشر أصحابه بهذا الشهر العظيم، وهذه البشارة تدل على عظم هذا الشهر، شهر شرعه الله لعباده يصومونه، بل هو أحد أركان الإسلام. وفي هذا الشهر العظيم فرضه الله لتطهير النفوس من الآثام والمعاصي، وقد فرضه الله على الأمم السابقة كما فرضه سبحانه وتعالى على المؤمنين وعلى أهل الإسلام. قال الله في القرآن: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. تتقون، هذه هي الحكمة، فيه تزكية للنفس وتطهير وتنقية، يتقي الله سبحانه وتعالى. والتقوى كما هو معروف أن تجعل بينك وبين عذاب الله وقاية، وأن تجعل بينك وبين المعاصي وقاية، وأن تعبد الله وتطيع الله ورسوله على نور من الله سبحانه وتعالى، فيطهر نفسه وينقيها من الأشياء الرديئة ومن الأخلاق الرذيلة، فيزكي نفسه ويطهرها. وقد جاء في الحديث أن الشيطان يجري من ابن آدم مجرى الدم، فإذا صام الإنسان قالوا ضيق عليه المجاري في بدن الإنسان، فإذا أكل وشرب انبسطت نفسه للشهوات، وحصل له شيء من الضعف في إرادته، وتقل أيضا رغبته في العبادات بسبب الطعام والشراب، بخلاف الصوم تكون نفسه نقية طاهرة نشيطة زاهدة في الدنيا، زاهدة في الشهوات، ترغب في الآخرة. هذه من معاني ومقاصد الصوم. نعم.
إليكم الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He began: In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the All Merciful. All praises to Allah, and may the exaltations of Allah and His greetings be upon His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And I bear witness that there's no deity worthy of worship besides Allah alone without partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger. May the exaltations of Allah be upon Him, His family members, and His companions. To proceed, the most truthful of speech is the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the most upright of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of affairs are those that are newly introduced into the religion. Every newly introduced affair in the religion is an innovation, and every innovation is a misguidance, and every misguidance is in the fire of hell. To proceed, in the hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, it is narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be a harbinger, one who brings glad tidings to his companions. about the month of Ramadan, and he would say, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. Indeed, the month of Ramadan has come to you, a blessed month, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has obligated upon you the fasting. And within it, Allah opens the gates of paradise and closes the gates of the fire of hell, and the devils are shackled. And in every night of it, Allah frees some of his slaves from the fire of hell. In this hadith, there is a clear indication and proof that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to give glad tidings to his companions regarding the arrival of this month. This is clear proof of that affair. And this is an indication in itself of the tremendousness of this month and its great and lofty status. It is a month in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala legislated for his slaves to perform the fasting. And indeed, this is furthermore one of the pillars of Islam. Allah Jalla wa Ala has legislated it to cleanse the souls and purify them from sins and transgressions. And it has been legislated likewise upon the previous nations. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. O you who have believed, indeed fasting has been made obligatory upon you as it has been made obligatory upon those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Such that perhaps you will attain piety. So this is the reason for the legislation. This is the wisdom behind the legislation of the fasting of this month. Because it aids the slaves attain piety, aids the slaves in cleansing and purifying their souls and attaining piety. And piety, as you know, my brothers, is to place a barrier, a protection between yourself and the torment of Allah. A barrier and a protection of between yourself and the sins and transgressions. Piety is to obey Allah and leave off His prohibitions based upon a light received from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And so, the fasting is a cleansing of the soul. And it is found in the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ. Indeed, the devil runs in the body of the son of Adam, the same place that the blood flows. So, they said, fasting causes a narrowing and a constriction of the vessels that carry the blood. Thus, this will be a constriction and a narrowing of the path of the shaitan. And so if a slave fasts, you will find that he is gaining in willpower and less likely to fall into temptation. And if a slave eats and drinks, then you will find his willpower weakens and he is more interested in temptation and more turning to the affairs of dunya and the things desired in it, contrary to one who is fasting, where you will find him turning away from the dunya, but rather turning towards the akhirah, the affairs of the hereafter, the affairs of worship, and his willpower is stronger, and his resistance to temptation is even stronger. تفضل شيخ. إذن
في الحديث الذي أشرنا إليه جاء أكم شهر رمضان شهر مبارك. لماذا جعله الله سبحانه وتعالى شهرا مباركا؟ لأن هذا الشهر العظيم شهر اختصه الله بمزايا كثيرة وبفضائل عديدة، فمن ذلك أن القرآن نزل في هذا الشهر، شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. إذا إنزال القرآن الذي فيه الهداية وفيه النور نزل في هذا الشهر العظيم. هذا القرآن الذي يبصر الناس بالحق ويحذرهم من الباطل، والذي فيه صلاح للناس كلهم، بل إن سعادة الناس في الدنيا وفي الآخرة لا تكون إلا باتباع هذا القرآن العظيم الذي هو كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى. وفي شهر رمضان يستحب الإكثار من قراءة هذا القرآن العظيم الذي نزل في هذا الشهر، واستشعار عظمة هذا القرآن العظيم مع صدق النية وحضور القلب والتدبر لهذا القرآن العظيم. فقد جاء في الحديث الذي أخرجه أحمد في مسنده أن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام رأى أناسا عندما أسري به يعذبون بمقاريد من نار تقرب شفاههم، فسأل من هؤلاء يا جبريل؟ فقال خطباء من أمتك الذين يقولون ولا يفعلون ويقرؤون كتاب الله ولا يعملون. إذا التدبر الحقيقي هو أنك تقرأ كتاب الله وتعمل به، لأن الذي يعمل بالقرآن ويقرأه كالأترجة طعمها طيب وريحها طيب، أما المؤمن الذي لا يقرأ ويعمل كالتمرة التي لا ريح لها وإن كان طعمها طيب وإن كان طعمها طيبا. وأما الذي يقرأ ولا يعمل والعياذ بالله، الذي يقرأ القرآن ولا يعمل به هو مثل المنافق، والذي كذلك لا يقرأ ولا يعمل أيضا هو مثل المنافق كالحنظلة طعمها مر أو خبيث وريحها مر كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. فيوم القيامة يؤتى بأهل القرآن وقد تقدمتهم سورة البقرة وآل عمران تحاجان عن صاحبها. فإذا جاء رمضان اجتهد المجتهدون وعملوا بهذا الكتاب قراءة وتلاوة وتدبرا، فإن هذا هو المطلوب. والإكثار من ختم القرآن فإنه يستحب، يتلون آيات الله، قال الله يتلون آيات الله آناء الليل وهم يسجدون. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لعبد الله بن عمرو اقرأ القرآن في شهر، فقال إني أطيق أكثر من ذلك يا رسول الله، فبقي ينزل معه إلى أن قال اقرأ القرآن في 5 أيام، ونهاه أن يقرأ القرآن وأن يختمه في 3 أيام. نعم.
الشيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He continued. He said, so in this hadith that we have alluded to, in which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, جاءكم شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan has come to you. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, شهر مبارك, a blessed month. Why is it blessed? Indeed, it is blessed because of the many virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it, and the many particular blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in it. From amongst these is that this is the month in which the Quran was revealed, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, the month of Ramadan, the one in which the Quran has been sent down, containing clear signs of guidance and clear signs of differentiating, meaning between falsehood and between the truth. So whoever attends the month from amongst you, then let him fast it. So this is the month in which the Book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala was revealed, a guidance and a light that clarifies for the people the truth and differentiates between it and the falsehood. It warns the people from the falsehood. It is the book that contains all the happiness of mankind. Indeed, there is no happiness in this life or the life to come except that it is found in the Quran. So this is the reason for success in this life and the life to come. So it is indeed preferred and liked in the month of Ramadan to abundantly recite the Book of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. For surely this is the month in which that book was revealed. And let one recite the Book of Allah Jalla wa Ala with a truthful and sincere intention, seeking the face of Allah and His reward Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, making sure that his heart is present while he's reciting the book, contemplating its verses and analyzing them and thinking and dwelling upon them, pondering upon the meanings and reflecting. For indeed, it is found in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi laylatil Isra, that he passed by a people in the night of the ascension that were being tortured. Their lips were being clipped or scissored by scissors of fire. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inquired about these individuals, and it was said to him, خطباء أمتك, they are the admonishes, the callers, the sermon givers from amongst your nation, the orators, who say that which they do not do, who recite the Book of Allah and do not apply the knowledge found in it. So the Shaykh explains, he says, true contemplation and pondering upon the Book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala results in action. So the believer, his analogy and his similitude is like an orange, such that he recites the Book of Allah, he has a good smell, or the orange has a good smell, this is the similitude, and he tastes good, for his actions are goodly. And as for the believer, who applies what he knows, although he doesn't recite the Book of Allah, he is like a date fruit. Although it may not have any smell, it tastes good. As for the one who recites, but does not apply what he knows, this is a hypocrite. And as for the one who neither recites nor applies what he knows, this is indeed a hypocrite. The similitude is like a certain plant fruit called Al-Handal, which has a bitter taste and a foul smell, as the Shaykh explained. And in the Hadith, the Qur'an and the people of the Qur'an will be brought on the Day of Judgment, preceded by the two surahs, Al-Baqarah wa Ali Imran. Who are those people being brought with the Book of Allah? Those are the ones who used to apply this book and act according to it. So in this month, let the strivers strive in the affair of the Book of Allah, in the recitation of it, and with contemplation, with application. Indeed, it is beloved and preferred that in this month a slave abundantly recite the Book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah jalla wa ala mentioned some of his slaves, and he said about them, يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ. They recite the verses of Allah by portions of the night. And وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. And they are in sujood. So this verse indicates to us that they are reciting the Book of Allah and in their prayers. And this should be the affair of the slave in the month of Ramadan. And in the Hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he found him upon an affair of worship, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, recite the Book of Allah in a month. So he said, إِنِّي أَجِدُ قُوَّةِ. He said to the Messenger of Allah, I find in myself some strength. I can do more, I can do better. So the Messenger gave him a shorter period, and he kept going down with him as he kept saying, I have strength, until finally he said to him, recite the Book of Allah in 5 days. And he said to him, and he forbade him from reciting the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla in 3 days, for one who does so will not be able to comprehend its meanings and benefit from its contemplation. Tafadhal Shaykh.
وفي الحديث نفسه يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام افترض الله عليكم صيامه ولا شك ولا ريب أن شهر رمضان ركن من أركان الإسلام افترضه الله سبحانه وتعالى على عباده المؤمنين كما في الآية نفسها كتب عليكم الصيام يعني فرض عليكم الصيام وقال أيضا فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم وفي حديث ابن عمر في الصحيحين بني الإسلام على 5 وذكر منها صوم رمضان وهذا باتفاق المسلمين فمن أنكر شهر رمضان أو أنكر وجوبه فقد كفر والعياذ بالله وجاء من حديث طلحة بن عبيد الله أن رجلا ثائر الرأس وأن أعرابيا جاء وهو ثائر الرأس دخل على رسول الله فقال ماذا فرض الله علي ذكر الصلاة ثم ذكر صوم رمضان فقال شهر رمضان إلا أن تطوع شيئا وذاك الأعرابي أيضا الذي جاء إلى النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في الصحيح من حديث أنس وقال أنشدك بالله الله أمرك أن نصوم هذا الشهر من السنة فقال نعم فقال أنشدك بالله كذا وكذا وبقي ينشد النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام على باقي أركان الإسلام إذن هو فرض فرضه الله سبحانه وتعالى وكان هذا الصيام على مراحل تربيته كانت على مراحل. ففي أول الإسلام كان من أراد أن يصم فليصم والصوم خير له، ومن أراد أن يفطر فليفطر وعليه أن يدفع الفدية. وقبل ذلك كان مشروعا صيام يوم عاشوراء، وقالوا أنه كان واجبا، ثم لما نزل رمضان ترك وجوب عاشوراء، ترك وجوب عاشوراء، وبقي الخيار في شهر رمضان، من أراد أن يصوم فليصوم ومن أراد أن يفطر فليفطر، لكن يجب عليه أن يدفع الفدية. وهذه الفدية طعام مسكين، كما قال الله: على الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين، فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له، وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون. وفي الحديث نفسه أيضا قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: يفتح فيها أو يفتح فيها أبواب الجنة. وهذا إشارة إلى فضيلة من فضائل هذا الشهر، وفضائله كثيرة. ففي هذا الشهر إذا دخل شهر رمضان تفتح أبواب الجنة، وفي رواية تفتح أبواب السماء، جاء في الصحيحين أيضا، وفيه: وغلقت أبواب جهنم وسلسلة الشياطين. هذه ثلاث فضائل في هذا الشهر. الفضيلة الأولى أن أبواب الجنة تفتح. وقد يقول قائل: ماذا نستفيد إذا عرفنا أن أبواب الجنة تفتح؟ نستفيد أن هذا يدل على رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى بعباده في هذا الشهر، أنه تفضل عليهم فجعل أبواب الجنة مفتوحة، وذلك إشارة لكثرة الأعمال الصالحة في هذا الشهر التي تكون سببا لدخول الجنة، لأن دخول الجنة لا يكون إلا بعمل من حيث السبب، وإلا كلنا لا ندخل إلا برحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى. قال الله: ادخلوا الجنة بما كنتم تعملون. وفي المقابل إغلاق أبواب النار في هذا الشهر، وهذا إشارة إلى قلة المعاصي، لأن النار والمعاصي لأن المعاصي تكون سببا لدخول النار، كما أخبر الله في غير ما آية: ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإن له نار جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا. والآيات في هذا كثيرة. الثالثة في الحديث: تصفد الشياطين. ما معنى تصفد؟ في هذه الرواية التي بين أيدينا قال: تغل، وهذا هو المقصود، المعنى واحد، أي أنها توثق وتربط، فلا تستطيع أن تغوي الناس كما تغويهم في باقي الأشهر، ولا أن تجرهم إلى المعاصي، ولا أن تصرفهم عن الخير كما كانت تفعل في باقي الأشهر. فانظروا إلى هذه الفضائل العظيمة في هذا الشهر الكريم، هذا الشهر الفضيل، هذا الشهر العظيم. نعم.
أحسن الله إليك. شيء جزاه الله خيرا. He continued from the hadith that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said: افترض الله عليكم صيامه. Indeed, Allah has made obligatory upon you the fasting of it. And this, as we explained, is one of the pillars of Islam, that Allah جل وعلا has made obligatory, such as found in the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من شهد فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصومه. So whoever attends the month from amongst you, whoever reaches the month from amongst you, then let him fast it. And in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma fi sahihain, in both Bukhari and Muslim, as the Shaykh narrates to us, Jazahullah khairan, he said, Buniya al-Islamu ala khamsin. Indeed, Islam was built upon five. And then from amongst the five, he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And so, whoever disbelieves in the obligatory nature of the fasting of the month of Ramadan, then indeed he has gone against a matter of consensus amongst this ummah, a matter that is widely accepted by all the members of this nation. Indeed, this is considered kufr, disbelief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in the hadith, likewise, of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where an A'rabi came to him, and he asked him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ماذا فرض الله علي؟ What is it that Allah has made obligatory upon me? أحسن الله إليكم شيخ، أنا ذكرتم أن هذا حديث طلحة، أليس كذلك؟
حديث طلحة. لا بلى بلى.
حينها. in the hadith of Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Arabi came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his head was unkempt and wild haired. And he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this desert dweller, this Bedouin, and he said, "What is it that Allah Azza wa Jal has made obligatory upon me?" So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named some of the obligatory duties from the prayer and the like, and then he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the fasting of the month of Ramadan. And in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was likewise met by a desert dweller, a Bedouin, who came to him. And he said, "I ask you by Allah, unshiduka billah, is it Allah that commanded you to command us the fasting of this month? That is Allah that made obligatory upon us the fasting of this month?" So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Yes." And he kept asking him in this fashion, "I ask you by Allah, is it such and such?" And the Messenger continued answering him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asking about some of the basics of this religion. And from amongst these, he asked about the month of fasting. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam corroborated that indeed Allah has made this obligatory. Thus, we say, this is an obligation and a compulsory duty in this religion. And this obligation was not revealed one go, but rather it was reached over several stages. For at first, in the beginning of Islam and the early stages, it was optional to fast the month of Ramadan. Whoever wanted to fast it, they let him fast it, and this was surely better for them. And whoever could not handle it, they would be allowed to break the fast. Whoever did not want to fast, were they allowed to break the fast and instead feed the poor. And before that, what was legislated is the fasting of the day of Ashura. And some have said that it is obligatory. قَالَ بَعْضُهُمْ wajib. And when the month of Ramadan was then legislated and made compulsory upon all, then the fasting of Ashura was no longer considered obligatory. And this fidya that is mentioned in the verse, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامٌ مِسْكِينٌ, and upon those who cannot handle it, those who cannot bear it, the feeding of the poor, this is exactly the fidya that is mentioned. This is the ransom for breaking the fast in a day of Ramadan, which is feeding the poor. This was the affair in the early stages. Moving on with the hadith itself, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then mentioned, in it, the doors of paradise are opened. And in it, and this is a great bounty and a great blessing from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and a virtue for this month. And in it, that the gates of the fire of hell are sealed and the devils are shackled. So these are three separate and distinct virtues for this tremendous and lofty month. The individual may ask, what is the benefit of the gates of paradise being opened? What do we understand from this statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the Shaykh explained, he said, هَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, this is an indication of the mercy of Allah, that in this month, the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal becomes abundant. This is an indication of the abundance of acts of worship that are the reason for the entry of Jannah. However, although they may not be fitting price for the entry of Jannah, surely none of us's deeds will reach him Jannah. It is only through the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we are granted entry into Jannah. But nonetheless, the deeds are the reason for the entry of Jannah, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala said, idkhulu al-jannata bima kuntum ta'malun, enter Jannah by that which you used to do. So this is because they are the reason for the entry of Jannah. And in the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said that the gates of the fire of hell are sealed in this month, this is also an indication that the the affair of disobedience is lessened in this month, and that the slaves are less likely to disobey Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in this month. And surely, this is an indication that it is the sins and the disobedience to Allah that is the reason for the entry of the fire of hell. As Allah Jalla wa'ala said, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فِإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, that indeed for him is the fire of hell, eternally they reside in it. So, the third benefit, as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and this is in some of the narrations of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ, and the devils are chained. So this is an indication of the meaning of the word صُفِّدَت, or shackled. So what is intended here basically is that the devils are hampered and slowed down and shackled and chained, that they are no longer capable of slowing the slaves down when it comes to the acts of worship. They are not capable of influencing the slaves in matters of laziness, and that they are no longer capable of tempting the slaves to disobey Allah and tempting them to fall into sin and to things that are forbidden. So these are the three of the virtues and blessings of this tremendous month. Sadaw Sheikh.
وفي الحديث نفسه ختمه النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام بقوله وفيه ليلة خير من ألف شهر من حرم خيرها فقد حرم من حرم خيرها فقد حرم. هذه الليلة هي ليلة القدر كما قال الله في القرآن إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. إذن هي ليلة اختص الله سبحانه وتعالى شهر رمضان بها, بل اختص العشر الأواخر بها, بل اختص الأوتار من العشر الأواخر بهذه الليلة. تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر. هذه الليلة العظيمة كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يعرف متى هي, ثم حصل أن رجلين تلاحى واختلفا, فشاء الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرفع علمها, شاء الله أن ترفع عن رسول الله فينسى أو نسي عليه الصلاة والسلام ليلة القدر كما جاء في الصحيحين. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام إني أريت ليلة القدر ثم أنسيتها أو نسيتها فالتمسوها في العشر الأواخر في الوتر. هذه الليلة من قامها إيمانا بها واحتسابا للأجر فقد غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, كما في الصحيحين من حديث أبي هريرة من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه, ومن قام ليلة القدر إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. إذن الإنسان لا يستطيع أن يظفر بهذه الليلة العظيمة إلا إذا قام هذه الليالي العشر وحرص أشد الحرص على الأوتار, لأننا لا ندري متى هذه الليلة. إذا كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وهو رسول الله هو الذي يوحى إليه يقول ثم أنسيتها أو نسيتها فالتمسوها في العشر الأواخر في الوتر, فكيف بنا نحن الذين أقل الناس أو أبعد الناس, فلا بد أن نجتهد في العشر الأواخر, أن نتحرى هذه الليلة ونقوم ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا لها, لأنها خير من ألف شهر. عبادتك في هذه الليلة خير لك من عبادة ألف شهر, ولا شك أن هذا يريد جهدا زائدا ويريد اجتهادا وحرصا ودعاء, وكذلك أن يرفع أكف الضراعة أن يكون من أهل هذه الليلة العظيمة. وانظروا إلى قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام فالتمسوها, يعني اطلبوها احرصوا عليها, وفي رواية تحروا ليلة القدر. فانظروا إلى هذه الألفاظ التحري والالتماس لعظم هذه الليلة العظيمة. هذه الليلة في هذا الشهر الكريم وهي من خصائصه, يقول عليه الصلاة والسلام تحروا ليلة القدر في الوتر من العشر الأواخر من رمضان, كما في الصحيحين من حديث عائشة رضي الله عنها. ولهذا كان النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في العشر الأواخر أشد اجتهادا من غيرها, فقد كان ينقب أهله ويحيي ليله ويشد مئزره عليه الصلاة والسلام, وهذا كناية عن بعده عن الفراش وعن أهله, فما كان يعرف النوم, الدعاء والعبادة والسجود والقيام والتضرع، كل ذلك حرصا، كل ذلك حرصا على هذه الليلة العظيمة. نعم.
الله عليكم. شيء جزاه الله خيرا. He then continued from this hadith that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said in it, and in it is a night that is better than 1,000 nights. Whoever is prevented from its benefit, then indeed he is deprived. Or as he said, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, this is a night that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala described in the book where he said, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. And what do you know what is the night of the Qadr? لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. The night of Al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. So, this is a tremendous virtue and a blessing from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And one of the unique traits and virtues of the month of Ramadan that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has chosen to bestow in it, this one single night that is better than 1,000 months, as the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in this hadith, as it, and is found in this verse that we just recited. And whoever's deprived it, as the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, indeed he is a deprived individual. This is the night that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala described, and he said, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. Surely the angels and the soul descend in it by the permission of the Lord for every affair, and it is peace until the rising of dawn. And this particular night, this blessed night that is better than 1,000 months, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to know its specific time, until two men differed, or two men bickered, and then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala willed and decreed that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shall no longer remember. And so in some of the narrations, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam nussi, he was made to forget this particular night, as found in the hadith that is narrated by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have been shown the night of Qadr, and then I forgot it, or I was made to forget it. So seek it in the last 10, meaning nights of the month of Ramadan, or as he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And indeed, the Shaykh explains, whoever gets up in night prayers in the night of Qadr out of faith and seeking the reward of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then indeed this is an individual whom Allah has forgiven him his sins past. All his sins have been forgiven. And this is similar to the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan out of faith and seeking the reward of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then indeed his sins past have been forgiven. And so, based on these ahadith, we understand that a slave should be keenest and most interested and greedy in obtaining the benefit and virtue of the night of Qadr. And this is specifically as the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated, to be applied in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of Laylatul Qadr. And surely, if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know the specific night upon which the night of Qadr will occur, as he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the narration that we just examined, that he said, ثُمَّ أُنْسِيْتُهَا أو ثُمَّ نُسِيْتُهَا, and then I was made to forget it. Then what can we say? As far removed as we are from the revelation, and as far removed we are from the time of the revelation, then what do we say regarding pinpointing and specifying the specific night upon which the night of Qadr will occur? Thus, a slave should attempt to put his utmost best and put his maximal effort into the last 10 nights of Ramadan, specifically the odd nights, where he should do his very best. And, O slave of Allah, realize that your worship in that one night will surely supersede and exceed your worship of 1,000 months. Indeed, this is an affair that obviously will require a great deal of effort and striving, such that you will maximize your benefit and your gain and your win and your victory in that particular night. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَالْتَمِسُوهَا. So seek it. It is not like he sallallahu alayhi wasallam used another word, but rather he said, seek it. Meaning you should be keen on this. This is something you should go after. Put it in your sights and go after it. And in another narration, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, تَحَرَّوْهَا. Meaning, look for it. Look for it. Be keen, be watchful. When will it come? So this is an affair that the believer keeps his eye towards. This is an affair that the believer is looking for, looking to make this win and to make this gain and this victory. Why is this? Because of its tremendousness. And surely this is one of the virtues of the month of Ramadan. And the hadith that is narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and it is muttafaqun alayhi, found in Bukhari and Muslim, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, watch out for the night of Qadr in the odd nights of the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan. And also as narrated about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to, when the last 10 nights of the month came, strive at the utmost ability of striving. And he would wake up his family for the night. And he would enliven the night. And he would tighten his waist garment. All of this is a reference to the fact that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would leave the affair of the bed and rather would keep the night alive through worship and supplication and prayers and the like. And this is an indication of the great care from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding this night. Fadlul Shaykh.
جعل الله لها سبحانه وتعالى علامات تعرف بها، فمن ذلكم أنها تطلع الشمس يومئذ لا شعاع لها كما في صحيح مسلم، ويستحب في هذه الليلة الإكثار والدعاء، حتى إن عائشة سألت النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، قالت له يا رسول الله أرأيت إن وافقت ليلة القدر ما أدعو؟ فقال تقولين اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. إذن يستحب هذا الدعاء مع الإكثار من الدعاء. فإذا طلعت الشمس لا شعاع لها فهذا يدل على أن الليلة كانت ليلة ظهرت فيها هذه الليلة ليلة القدر. وجاء أيضا في صحيح مسلم أن الشمس أو أن القمر يطلع وهو مثل شق جفنة، مثل شق جفنة. ما معنى شق؟ الشق هو النصف، والجفنة هي القصعة التي يؤكل فيها. وهذا في الغالب لا يكون القمر بهذه الصورة إلا إذا كان في آخر الشهر، ومعروف أن ليلة القدر في آخر الشهر لأنها في العشر الأواخر، وقد تكون في ليلة 27 أو ليلة 29، وهكذا يكون القمر في ذلك الوقت مثل شق جفنة كما في صحيح مسلم. فالنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان إذا دخل العشر شد مئزره كما قالت عائشة، وأحيا ليله وأيقظ أهله. وكانت تقول أيضا كان يجتهد في العشر ما لا يجتهد في غيره، بل إن النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان في العشر يعتكف في المسجد. الاعتكاف الذي هو حبس النفس والبقاء في المسجد لا يخرج، يلزم المسجد لطاعة الله سبحانه وتعالى، وهو سنة وقربه جاء ذكره في الكتاب وفي السنة. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها. هذا الاعتكاف كان يفعله عليه الصلاة والسلام في العشر الأواخر، لماذا؟ الاعتكاف هو نفسه عبادة عظيمة، وهو أيضا ليس خاصا برمضان، لكن أعظم ما يكون الاعتكاف أن يكون في رمضان، من أجل أن يعتكف في العشر الأواخر، من أجل أن يدرك هذه الليلة العظيمة. وهذا ما كان يفعله النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، كان يعتكف في العشر الأواخر من رمضان حتى توفاه الله سبحانه وتعالى، بل حتى إن نساءه كنا يعتكفنا. وهكذا كان الصحابة رضي الله عنهم، تقول عائشة رضي الله عنها كما في الصحيحين: كان يعتكف العشر الأواخر من رمضان عليه الصلاة والسلام حتى توفاه الله، ثم اعتكف أزواجه من بعده. وكذلك ثبت عنه أنه اعتكف في العشر الأوسط من رمضان. وكذلك معلوم أن هذا الاعتكاف إنما يكون للزوم الطاعة في المسجد، الصلاة والدعاء وقراءة القرآن، وكذلك قطع العلائق عن الخلائق كما ذكر الفقهاء، تقطع العلاقة عن الناس وتتصل بالله سبحانه وتعالى، وتخلي قلبك من الشواغل ومن أمور الدنيا وتتفرغ للعبادة. هذا أيضا يكون في شهر رمضان وأنت صائم، وإن كان الاعتكاف يصح بغير صوم على الصحيح، لكن وأنت صائم يكون هذا الاعتكاف يعني فيه من التقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى والتفرغ، أفضل مما يكون الإنسان منشغلا بالطعام أو مفكرا أو يفكر في طعامه وشرابه. نعم
يا شيخ جزاه الله خيرا. He said, and surely this tremendous night has signs that come along with it. From amongst these signs that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated that the sun shall rise on its morning, لا شُعَاعَ لَهَا, that it will not have rays to it on that morning. And so, if a slave reaches that night, it is preferred for him to abundantly call upon Allah and supplicate to Him, seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala His bounty. So much so that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what if I reach the night of Qadr? Teach me something to say. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her to say, oh Allah, indeed you are afu, you are most overlooking, forgiving, and you love to forgive and overlook, so forgive me and overlook my sins. So this particular supplication is preferred, is liked on that night, along with making it abundantly, and to call upon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala abundantly, and to seek His reward jalla wa ala. And so this rising of the sun indicates that the previous night was the night of Qadr. And in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, it is narrated the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that either the sun or the moon should rise on that night looking like the half of a bowl full or a plate full of food. And surely it is most common that the moon looks like that in the nights that are towards the latter part of the month, nearing the ending of the lunar month. And so, in the night of the 27th or the night of the 29th, it is likely that the moon will look like that. And so, the slave, when it comes time to the ending part of Ramadan, should strive in a fashion that he did not strive in before. And it is mentioned that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to strive in the last 10 of Ramadan in a striving that he did not strive in any other than them. But rather, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform the i'tikaf in the masjid. He would perform the act of worship named i'tikaf, which is to basically stay in the masjid and not to leave it for any reason, for the entire 10 nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do that for the sole purpose of busying himself with the various acts of worship associated with the month of Ramadan. And surely this great and tremendous act of worship, which is al-i'tikaf, is mentioned in the Book of Allah, and likewise mentioned in the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is found in the verse ولا تباشروهن وأنتم عاكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله. And do not have relations with your women whilst you are in a state of i'tikaf in the masajid. Indeed, these are the boundaries of Allah, so do not draw near them. And so this is something that he did sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And surely this is the greatest of i'tikaf to be performed in the month of Ramadan. And so this is understood to be for the sake of attaining the full benefit of the night of Qadr, such that he does not miss out on this night. Because if he is in the masjid in a state of i'tikaf, not going to leave the masjid any time, then surely this is more likely to cause the slave to dedicate himself fully to the acts of worship. And this is the action of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But furthermore, even his wives, as it is narrated in the hadith, used to do this, that he sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is narrated, used to perform the i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan until Allah jalla wa ala took his life. And then his wives continued the tradition after him sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the matter of i'tikaf is to basically remain upon the acts of worship in the masjid. And as the scholars have said, قَطْعُ الْعَلَائِقْ عَنِ الْخَلَائِقِ, to sever the ties from the creations, to sever these relationships, to put a hold on them, and to refrain from overburdening oneself with this. But rather, the slave turns to Allah in these 10 nights, and works on his relationship with his Lord تبارك وتعالى in those 10 nights. So that you create a relationship with Allah and you attach yourself to Him. And this is best performed when you are fasting. Although, on the correct opinion, it is permissible to perform the i'tikaf without necessarily fasting. However, it is more busying to be concerned with food and thinking about your next meal. Although you're in a state of i'tikaf, it is more busying for your heart. So it is better for you to be in a state of fasting while you're performing the i'tikaf, such that you will indeed succeed in purifying your heart and entirely devoting your attention to the worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and to drawing near to Him jalla wa ala. Tadabbur shaykh.
Jazakallah khairan. Shaykh, wa ma zal al kalam fi al hadith wa lam natatarraq ila al fadail al kathira allati fi shahr Ramadan. إنما تطرقنا إلى شرح ألفاظ هذا الحديث العظيم جاءكم شهر رمضان وإلا في الفضائل كثيرة فضل الصوم في سبيل الله وكذلك الصوم كفارة والصوم جنة وجعل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام وجعل الله سبحانه وتعالى للصائمين بابا خاصا يقال له باب الريان والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان أجود ما يكون في رمضان يدارسه ويعارضه جبريل عليه السلام القرآن حتى إنه عارضه في السنة التي مات فيها مرتين. ولهذا سنختم هذه الكلمة بالكلام عن بعض الأحكام المتعلقة بهذا الشهر. فنقول شهر رمضان يعرف ويعلم دخوله بثلاث طرق: برؤية الهلال وهي الطريقة الأولى كما قال الله فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم، أو بالشهادة أن يأتي رجلان فيشهدان على أنهم رأوا الهلال، أو بالطريقة الثالثة أننا نكمل عدة شهر شعبان إذا لم نرى الهلال ولم يشهد أحد، لأن الشهر هو 29، إنما الشهر 29 فلا تصوموا حتى تروا الهلال ولا تفطروا حتى تروه فإن غم عليكم فاقدروا له، يعني أكملوا عدة شعبان 30. وهذا الصيام يستحب له أن يؤخر المسلم السحور، تسحروا فإن في السحور بركة. فرغب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في هذه الأكلة، أكلة السحر، وبين أنها فصل بيننا وبين أهل الكتاب، فهي من العلامات الفارقة بيننا وبين اليهود والنصارى. وفي المقابل يستحب تعجيل الإفطار، لا يزال الناس بخير ما عجلوا الفطر كما في الصحيحين. ويستحب أن يفطر الإنسان على رطبات أو على تمرات إن لم يجد، فإن لم يجد فعلى حسوات من ماء. وكذلك من مفسدات الصوم الجماع وإنزال المني والأكل أو الشرب متعمداً، وكذلك التقيؤ متعمدا. وهذه المفسدات لا تفسد الصوم إلا لمن كان ذاكرا، أما الناس فهو معذور، ومن كان عالما، أما الجاهل فهو معذور، ومن كان مختارا فأما المكره فهو معذور. وهناك أمور لا تفطر الصائم وقد يظنها الناس أنها من المفسدات، كالمضمضة والاكتحال، وإذا داوى عينيه فهذا ليست من المفطرات، وكذلك السواك لا يؤثر على الصائم، وكذلك إذا طار إلى حلقه أو وقع في حلقه شيء من الغبار أو من الذباب فهذا لا يضره، كل ذلك لا يضر صيامه. وعلى الصائم أن يتقي الله، فإن الحكمة التي أرادها الله من تحققها عند الصيام هي التقوى، فيجب عليه أن يجتنب الكذب والغيبة ومسابة الناس وشتمهم، لأنه ليس له حظ من صيامه إلا الجوع والعطش إذا كان هذا حاله. وقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. وأما الإفطار فمن أفطر في رمضان كالمسافر والمريض فالله يقول: فعدة من أيام أخر، فعليه أن يبادر إلى القضاء ولا يؤخر هذا القضاء. وأما الكبير الذي لا يستطيع الصوم أو المريض مرضا مزمنا لا يستطيع معه الصوم البتة، فهذا لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، ليس عليه إلا أن يطعم عن كل يوم مسكينا، ويكون بذلك قد أدى ما عليه. ويلزم الإنسان أن يعين النية للصوم، لأن النية شرط في صحته. النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول: من لم يبيت الصيام من الليل فلا صيام له. وبهذا القدر نكتفي، وفق الله الجميع لما يحبه ويرضاه، وصلى اللهم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.
أحسن الله إليكم شيخنا، بارك الله فيكم. إذن شيء جزاه الله خير.
أنا أفارقكم الله يحفظكم.
طيب شيخنا تفضل، أحسن الله إليكم.
حياكم الله، وسلم على الإخوان جميعا، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
يصل إن شاء الله. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. The Sheikh Jazahullah Khairan, he said, "Inshallah, we are continuing still with the explanation of this hadith, and we have not yet touched upon the many, many virtues of the month of Ramadan, and they are tremendous, such as the virtue of fasting in the cause of Allah, and the virtue of fasting being a repudiation and a cleansing of sins, and the virtue that fasting is a shield, and the fact that there is a specific door for those who fast in Jannah called the Rayyan. And the matter of the prophets of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he used to be the most generous and that he was ever was in Ramadan, as Jibreel would be studying the Quran with him, such that he in his last year of his life sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibreel studied the Quran over with him twice in that month. And so rather we will conclude with mentioning some of the rulings surrounding the month of Ramadan. The first of these is the matter of recognizing the entry of the month. And this can be recognized from three different ways. The first of which is the sight, by seeing the month. As Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentioned, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُومْ. So whoever witnesses the month from amongst you, then let him fast it. So this is the sight, watching for the crescent moon, the crescent of the new month. All that two men bear witness that the month has come. Or thirdly, last, that we complete the number of the nights of Sha'ban. For surely the month is only 29, as the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not fast until you see the crescent, and do not break your fast until you see the crescent. However, if, as he says, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning that clouds overcome your visibility, your ability to see, then complete the number of the nights of the month. And likewise, from the legislation of this month is to delay the meal known as a suhoor. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, تَسَحَّرُ فَإِنَّ فِي السُّحُورِ بَرَكَةً. Eat the pre-dawn meal, for surely there is blessing in it. And he also, ﷺ, said, the difference between us and between the people of the book is the matter of the sahur, the matter of the pre-dawn meal. Also, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam legislated the hastening to break the fast. As soon as the time of breaking the fast comes in, then immediately the slaves break the fast. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, surely the people will remain upon goodness so long as they hasten to break their fast, as found in hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also taught that people should break their fast on rutab, a specific type of date fruit. And if not, then tamarat, then the regular dates. And if not, then let one drink some sips of water. This is what you break the fast with. This is what you begin your breaking of the fast with. And likewise, from the affairs that we want to mention is the things that ruin the fasting, such as, for example, the having relations with one's wife, or the affair of ejaculation, and likewise eating and drinking and inducing one's vomit, forcing oneself to vomit. This is all from the affairs, or these are all from the affairs that break the fast. However, this is only regarding one, the individual who is remembering. One who does this forgetfully, there is nothing upon him. He does not break his fast. And this is only for one who knows these rulings. One who doesn't know these rulings, then this does not break his fast. And this is only for one who had the option to, but he insisted on doing it, rather than one who was forced to do this, then there is nothing upon him. And likewise, there are affairs that do not break the fast, despite the fact that some people may think that they break the fast, such as the affair of swishing water in the mouth, which is called al-madmada, or the affair of placing kuhul, eyeliner, in the eyes, or perhaps placing some medication in the eyes. This is all not from the affairs, these are all not from the affairs of breaking the fast, such as also the matter of one finding dust in his throat, or if an insect like a fly flies into his throat. This is all not from the affairs that break the fast. This doesn't harm you. And likewise, upon the slave in that month is to fear Allah and to act according to the legislation of Allah, performing that which Allah Jalla wa'ala made obligatory and leaving off that which Allah Jalla wa'ala forbade. For indeed, as we mentioned, the wisdom behind the fasting and its establishment is to attain this, to attain the piety, the obedience to Allah. How many are those who fast and have nothing gained out of fasting except for suffering hunger and thirst and nothing more? Indeed, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever does not leave the speech of evil and the doing of evil, meaning in the month of Ramadan, then surely Allah has no need of him leaving off his food and his drink. As for the affair of breaking the fast and not fasting upon those who are traveling or those who have a valid excuse, then Allah Jalla wa'ala said, فَعِدَّةُ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. It is upon them to fast a number of other days. It is upon them to fast a number of replacement days for each day that they missed. So as soon as they are done, concluded with the valid excuse that they have, then upon them, whether he is traveling or was sick for the time, it is upon them to immediately hasten to making up those days. As for the individual who is elderly, to the point where it is only expected that with the passage of time, fasting will become more difficult for him. He couldn't fast because of old age, and it is only expected that he will get older and fasting will become more difficult. And surely he's not capable of making up the fast. For this individual, upon him is to feed the poor, to feed the poor for each day that he missed out of Ramadan. And likewise is the ruling for one who is a zamin, one who is in an ailment or in a sickness that is chronic, and one that does not leave him. an illness, a disease that is not expected to be cured and to leave this individual such that he is expected after time that he will be able to fast, but rather it is expected that he will remain upon this illness. The ruling for him is the same as the ruling that we mentioned for the old individual, that they feed the poor. And also from the affairs of Ramadan is that it is obligatory to intend to fast. It is obligatory to intend to fast Ramadan, meaning that the intention cannot be brought on after the onset of the beginning of the day, contrary to the optional fasting. As the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من لم يبيت الصيام فلا صيام له, or كما قال, whoever did not have the pre-intention before the rising of the dawn, then there is no fasting for him. As he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the known hadith, whoever did not intend the fasting before the dawn, then surely there is no fasting for him. And then the Shaykh Jazahullah Khairan, he concluded the class or the lecture and the reminder, and he asked Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala to grant success to all those attending and those listening. To all of that we say Ameen. We ask Allah Jalla wa Ala to reward the Shaykh lavishly for the time he has given. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Jazakumullah khairan.